A young lady here who has, the Lord has been developing her, and he's been doing mighty things in her as she has been yielding to the Lord to be prepared for the service that God is thrusting her into. Kristen Santos is here today. She has been in YWAM, and she has spent this past year there, and she'll be going some other places in this new thing that you'll be doing. So, Kristen, come up, and we need a mic. Where are our mics? Our mics are gone. Are our mics back? Thank you. Well, this is Kristen. Let's bless her. Amen. Her mom and dad are here on the front row, Richard and Sue. Just stand up, Richard and Sue. Amen. We bless you too, because Kristen could not have done this without mom and dad. Amen. Why don't you share with us?
Well, good morning. Okay, so I've been with CNC ever since it went to Beechwood. I was a little hesitant to join another church because the church I'd been involved with kind of fell apart and my heart was broken. And I was like, forget this church thing. And then God's like, no, don't forget this church thing. Go to this CNC thing. And I said, okay, fine. And I fell in love very quickly. I've been blessed enough to serve on the worship team. That's been a whole other story, but yeah, God is good. But like Pastor Tosi was sharing, I've known since I was 13 years old that God had called me into the mission field. It was one of the very, very few times, perhaps the only time I've heard the audible voice of God. I was just weeping on my bed, and I was just like, God, I don't understand. Why am I here? Why am I in America where so many people are blessed, but there's so many other people that just have nothing? Why am I here? I've got parents that love me. I've got everything I need, and I'm just bawling my eyes out, whatever. I'm an emotional 13-year-old, and I hear one word, and it's not specifically the answer to my question, and I just hear missionary, and I'm like, I think I just heard God. So I get up, and I run to my mom, like, Mom, I think I'm going to be a missionary. She's like, that's great, sweetie. I didn't get the actual answer to my question until I was about 20 years old, and it got specific, and God said, the reason why you're here in America is because with blessing and freedom comes responsibility. So you're going to go love on other people, use your resources of your life and your testimony and the love that you've been given, and go give that to other people. Whether you know this or not, we're all called to be missionaries. Check it out. It's in Matthew. But some of us are called to go to foreign soil. Some of us are called to stay here and be missionaries here in America and here in Ohio. But I'm called to foreign soil as well. And for the last 5 months, I left in July. I went to the DTS program, which is Discipleship Training School in YWAM. And I was hesitant in going because I was like, Lord, yes, I want to go tell people how awesome you are, but I'm struggling in my own relationship with you in staying faithful to you. And he's like, Kristen, just trust me. I lost my job in April teaching. I wasn't mad. Everybody else was mad. I was like, no, I'm going to Texas. I'm good. But then then I got nervous because I was like, maybe I shouldn't go. I have no job security. I've got, what am I supposed to do? I struggle in my own relationship. And God's like, just trust me. I'm like, fine. I'll be obedient. And I went, and the whole entire 5 months is about you and your relationship with God. I was like, sweet, I needed this a long time ago. So I've got a few pictures up that you can maybe see a little bit. This is me. Our main focus in Mexico. Mexico is where we went on our outreach, by the way. We spent 7 weeks there. 4 weeks were in the mountain region. It was kind of a dual focus. One was a medical clinic, and we tried to reach as many people with basic medical needs that couldn't afford it on their own. I was only in the medical clinic twice because my calling, sure, is more in the schools. And here you can see two of the Mexican students. Here I'm teaching them sex and its consequences. That is not what I thought I was going to be doing in Mexico, but God really used it. I hope I get to do this in America. We need to hear it in America too. So the coolest part is when I brought these volunteers up from the crowd, I was like, okay, I need some volunteers. I need one girl and three guys. And they're like, sweet, yay. And they come up and I'm like, we're going to talk about sex. They're like, But you walk through and I create these pretend scenarios. And every time you can see the two pieces of duct tape coming together and then they have to rip it apart every time. they break up or whatever. And it shows, the duct tape represents how being involved with people can completely ruin your life. But we can't be open about God and Jesus in the schools there, so we had to use creative ways of teaching God without using his name. And so by the end of it, she's got this little piece of tape, and I'm like, look what she's got left. And I want to be like, hey, look what God can do. Here's another piece of tape, and you can have it all brand new again. But that's another time and story. But so that's a big piece of what I got to do there. You can go to the next picture. We also got to do dramas. We couldn't say Jesus or God, but we could present him in a drama. And this drama particularly, I auditioned for this drama. We all had to. We didn't have a choice. And I was like, that was another thing. I was like, Lord, I'm not doing dramas and I'm not dancing. Yeah, we danced and we did dramas in Mexico. And I thought I'd be one of the demons or Satan because I've played those roles before. And then they're like, no, Kristen, you're going to be the girl. And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, you're going to be the girl. I'm like, the girl who gets tossed around and gets the junk beaten out of her? I think you pick Angela. She's you know, girly, and she can play that role. They're like, no, you're going to do it. And throughout the time in Mexico, God showed me over and over and again how much I am that girl and how much I needed Jesus to step in and take my place and how weak and vulnerable I really am without him. So, yeah, I could go on about that too, but go ahead, go to the next slide. This is a piece of the medical clinic. That's our doctor on the left, Dr. McDaniels, one of our translators on the right. She was born in missions. That's Esther. And then a patient's in the middle with her small child. Go ahead. This is a story I want to share with you, and I'm trying to keep to my time restraint here. I'm in the middle way back there, but you can see all these white uniforms, right? Earlier this day, we taught in two high schools, and it's, I don't know if you know this, but it's really hot in Mexico. You probably knew that. That was a joke. But anyway, we had taught in two high schools earlier that day. We had gotten back. We were supposed to have a little bit of free time, like go to the surrounding village and go shopping and all this stuff. And we're like, sweet. Oh, my gosh, free time. We never get this. And then the university called that. He said, come on over. We want you to come and share with our students. We're like, really, God? But I'm tired. He's like, go. I said, okay. So we prayed, and we prayed for strength because we had none. And out of sheer obedience and nothing else, we walked across the street and went into this university. And there were 75 nursing students crammed in a small, dark hallway just waiting for us to share with them. And I was like, all right. And we were presenting a new kind of program of how your choices lead to your destiny. We did the Jesus drama again, and then we just invited them to come and talk to us afterwards. Because when you talk to them one-on-one, you can be open about who God is, and you can share Jesus with them. And to our utter amazement, here they came a-flooding towards us. We're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Before I knew it, I had 17 nursing students surrounding me going, like wanting to hear more. And so we got to be more open about Jesus. I said, hey, you guys are nurses. You think that God is like this doctor who walks in, gives you a prescription and says, okay, see you later. But God is the nurse who holds your hand, who knows your family, who administers the medicine to you and wants to see you healed and watches you walk out of that hospital and applauds. That's who Jesus is. That's the Jesus that I serve. Do you want to know who this Jesus is? And they're like, yeah. 32 nursing students came to know Jesus that day. So that was exciting because the coolest part was we had 258 salvations, and the majority of them came out of the schools where that was the only place we had restrictions. But that's how good God is. That's how amazing God is. You can go to the next slide. And then this is in Mexico City where we spent the last 3 weeks, and we did a lot more intercession and joining up with other ministries there. A lot of prayer, a lot of free time, which can be dangerous if you're not careful with what you do. But the last piece that I want to share with you is, because I prayed, I said, all right, Lord, I could go on for hours about this. You got to help me focus on what you want me to share. And he said, I want you to share about my provision for you. I said, okay, I can do that. And he's like, make a list. Make a list of everything that I provided for you while you were there. And I said, okay. So I made a list. This is my little piece of cardboard. Sorry, I get ghetto sometimes. I just write what I need to. So like I shared with you before, I was a little nervous going because I'm supposed to be this missionary and I'm struggling in my own walk with God. And he's like, just go. And I found out that DTS was all about me and my relationship with God. Now, this next school I'm going to when I leave on Thursday is all about God and other people. So it's a different focus. But I needed DTS first, and he knew that. So that's the first thing he provided for me. The second thing he provided for me were one-on-ones. And a one-on-one is a person that's involved in your life, gets in your face in a very loving way and said, what can I help you with? What can I walk with you in this journey with God? What can I help talk you through? What can I listen? Whatever. I got there on Saturday, Sunday afternoon. I met my first one-on-one. I didn't know this lady. She just sat next to me, and I was having a hard time with something. Oh, yeah, God started dealing with things right when I got there. I was like, all right, fine, let's do this. And Tori came up, and she goes, what can I help you with? And she was my one-on-one for 2 weeks. She was leaving. She's now in Haiti. And as soon as she left, I got my other one-on-one, which is the one, my official one-on-one, Tammy. And she walked me through so much for the next 3 months. And then I went to Mexico, and I'm like, I don't have a one-on-one. Tammy didn't come here. And God's like, I got you, I got you. And he gave me Patty. And Patty's been in my life ever since. And I was actually nervous in coming home because I didn't have that one-on-one accountability. I'm like, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can go home and be good. And he's like, I got you. I'll be your one-on-one. And I've been in contact with Patty every single day since then, and God has been my one-on-one. He gave me enough money to go to Mexico. I had to fundraise for it. Every single penny, and then some, I was actually able to give some of the money I fundraised. Well, people gave, I guess, not really glory to me at all. And I actually gave it to some of my teammates who couldn't fundraise enough. So I had not enough, I had more than enough. Amen to that. I lost my iPod the first day I got to Mexico. Woo, yay. I was in a daze. I woke up, they're like, get off the bus. I'm like, okay, and there went my iPod. And I don't know if you know this, it's very important to surround yourself with godly people and godly music, and that's what my iPod had, and had different versions of the Bible. Every step of the way, I had an iPod every time I needed it. Somebody had an extra one. She's like, here, use this for the next 4 weeks. And then when she left, somebody else, every time I needed to listen to music and just zone out, somebody had an iPod for me. I was like, glory to God. I shared this with a couple people, and I'll try to keep this piece short, but I got sick in Mexico. Don't drink the water, okay? Now, I didn't drink it on purpose. It was put in one of the food, probably accidentally, whatever. And I got sick, and it took me like 3 or 4 days to recover. And I got mad at God. We were during this time of worship, and I'm sitting there, and I'm mad. He's like, what is wrong, Kristen? And I'm like, I'm mad at you. You're big enough. You're powerful enough. I didn't have to get sick. You could have said, bugs, go away. You don't have to. No. He's like, Kristen, let me show you something. I said, fine. When you first got sick, it was after the last day of ministry in the countryside of Mexico. I was like, okay, you didn't miss one day of ministry. All right. And when you started feeling sick, did you not have time to rest? Yes, I did. Did I not give you enough energy to pack your bags? Yes, you did. Did I not give you teammates to carry your bags because you were too weak to carry them yourself? Well, dang, yeah, you did. And I remember lying there. I had an 8-hour bus ride ahead of me. 8 hours. I'm like, I'm going to be sick this 8 hours. Are you crazy? I laid there bawling my eyes out. I was like, Lord, I just want to go home. I feel awful. I want someone to hold me. I don't admit that to too many people. And I was like, I just want somebody to hold me. And he's like, Kristen, you remember what your skin felt like? And if you've ever had the flu, you might know what I'm talking about. Really sensitive skin. Like if you move your clothing, it hurts. If some physical person would have held me, it would have hurt. So God had to be the one to hold me in order to bring comfort to me. Then, 8 hours of bus, I didn't get up once. Not once in 8 hours. Then I got to Mexico City, and I had 2 days of rest. We didn't have any ministry for 2 days. Yeah, God's that good. And then we went on a tour of Mexico City for 2 hours. I haven't gotten up from the couch in 2 days. I don't have energy. I said, Lord, you got to give me energy if you want me to do this tour. I want to see what we're getting involved with. 2 hours exactly of energy. Right at the end of the tour, that's when I needed to go back to lay down. 2 hours. And I believe if I would have asked for more, I would have gotten more. But that's another preaching anyway. So he's like, Kristen, not everything bad. I'm not going to be able to stop everything that's bad. People still have free will, but I will provide for you even when things go wrong. So just trust me. And so I'll quickly go through the rest of this. I spoke twice, giving messages, and both times God gave me something new and fresh that I did not plan right before I stepped up on that stage. And I was like, sweet, I can do this. I had questions in my heart about what to do, whether to go back to YWAM or not. He gave me confirmation after confirmation. He did not leave me hanging. Even simple things, I was like, Lord, I don't have spending money, but I really want some chocolate. And you know what? That day, our leaders would take us to ice cream and get us chocolate. And I was like, you're so good. He knows women like chocolate most. And then finally, peace about coming home. I went through this process of, ooh, I'm excited to go home. I got all this food, and it's not Mexican food. And my family, my friends are there, and I'm really excited to see them. And then it turned into, what if God says, stay here? So I laid that down. I said, all right, Lord, you want me to stay here? I'll stay here. And then it turned into, I don't know if I really want to go home. I like it here. And then it turned into, I'm afraid to go home. What if I can't stay faithful? What if I fall? What if I get back into the wrong crowd of people? And he's like, just trust me. And I've been home for 6 weeks, and God is good. So I leave on Thursday, and I'm really, really excited. My school will be finished in May, and what the focus of this next school is, learning about other world religions, other world views, so how can we effectively minister the gospel to other people and other faiths? Because if we expect them to listen to us, we need to have the same respect for them. And we're just going to go love on people, whatever that requires. Obviously, yes, this takes funds, but I'm not worried about that. I know that God will provide. But if you would like to receive newsletters or something like that, then please come see me afterwards and just write down your address, and I'll send you a newsletter once I know what country we're going to. I don't even know where we're going. They've mentioned the Middle East. They've mentioned Eastern Asia. They've mentioned a couple times in Africa. So I have really no idea where I'm going. I don't really care. I just know that that's where God's going to be, and that's where I'm going to go. But it's so encouraging to know that my church family here has my back and prayer. If you can do nothing else, please, please, please pray. Pray for me and my team. There's about 13 of us going back for SOE, and we need all the prayer that you can give us, because we're not going there to have fun. We're going there to learn more about God and learn how to effectively minister the gospel and portray Jesus in a real way that people can understand who he is and then surrender their lives to him. That's my thing. Come see me afterwards. Give me your address if you want a newsletter, and maybe, hopefully, I'll see you in May.
Amen. Well, we're going to do just what Christian encouraged us to do. We're going to pray for her. Now, I want some of my elders to come up, please. We're going to pray for Christian as she takes the next leg of this journey.
We bless you, Father God. We bless you, Lord, for this vessel. We thank you, Father, that you're teaching her how to purge herself, that she is a vessel of honor. We thank you for a double portion anointing, Lord God, that many souls come to you because of her. We thank you, Father, that you are doing a work in her and that she decreases and you increase. We thank you, Father, that you put a host of mighty angels to accompany her like an entourage. We thank you that they go before her, to the left, to the right, and they are her rear guard. We thank you that she is salt and light in this earth. And we thank you, Father, that you bring her name and face to the intercessors daily in the mighty name of Jesus. Be it done. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise as Christian goes and continue to turn it off. And continue to pray for her. Amen. Well, let's jump into the Word of God today. You ready for the Word? Amen. I'm ready. I think the Holy Spirit is ready. He is here. And if you have Bibles, get them. We'll get it on the screen. 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. Let's stand as we read the Word of God, please. This is God speaking. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, let's read this one together. Next verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Remain standing, please. Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the living word of God. Father, I pray that you anoint our ears to hear the word of God. And Father God, as I stand, I decrease that you may increase so that your perfect will be done. And we trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The title of what I'm going to share this morning is, afternoon, is The Pathway to Transformation. The scriptures that we saw gives us a pathway as to how God brings about transformation. God has a pattern for transformation. In verse 13, we saw the condition of the land. God said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now, that's the condition of the land. When the heaven is shut up over the land is in trouble. The land is not being fruitful. So God gives us a pattern of transformation. See, that land that is spoken of in verse 13 must be transformed. Something must happen to that land. It's an unfruitful land. The heavens are closed over the land. And then in verse 14, God gives us the process, the pathway to transform the land. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Only God can heal the land. He was the one who shut up the heavens, and he's the only one who can open the heavens. We many times mistakenly, when the heavens are closed, we start doing warfare against the devil. Well, the devil didn't close heaven. God did. And if we want the heavens open, we must do it God's way. Now, why is it necessary that the heavens be open over the land? You see, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3, if we have it, we'll look at it. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places in Christ. So all our spiritual blessings are in heavenly places, because that's where Christ is. So we must have heaven open in order to get the blessings that our Father desires for us. Now, transformation has been a buzzword for many years. And those of us in Northeast Ohio have been doing many things for many years in the name of transformation. And I'm going to give you a brief overview of some of the major things that has happened in Northeast Ohio over the last 20 plus years. Look at five or six things in the name of transformation. If we have it, we'll put it up. Otherwise, I'll tell you about it. Okay, good, good. Now, the first one was in 1986. Quake on the lake. And now, I don't know if anybody remember that. This was a 24-hour prayer gathering for spiritual awakening on the 18th floor of the Holiday Inn. Shortly after that, there was an actual earthquake on the Lake Erie. Now, I don't know if y'all remember that. I remember the earthquake. Okay, look at the next one. This was in 1991, a regional solemn assembly. 3-day solemn assembly for spiritual transformation held at Beulah Beach with over 85 pastors and leaders in attendance. We've been doing a lot of things in the name of transformation. Look at the next one. No, y'all remember this one in 1994, Billy Graham Crusade. Many, many, many churches joined together for this event, and the old Brown Stadium was filled to capacity. Anybody was there doing any of that? Amen. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Next one. 1997, 40-day trumpet call. All of this was seeking to move God to bring about transformation in our region. 40-day trumpet call. Over 120 churches and ministries participated in this 40 days of fasting and prayer for transformation in our region. During that time, I lost so much weight, folks told me I looked like Gandhi. I had to wear suspenders to keep my pants up. It was a challenging time, but we were fasting for transformation. Next one, 2001, Northeast Ohio call to prayer. This was in November of 2001, approximately 5,000 people representing over 200 churches gathered at the IX Center in response to the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Many people, anybody here there? Yeah, yeah, some of you all were there participating in that. And lastly, this is 2004, Heart Cry for Revival. We had planned and worked and a 2-day conference held at the Cleveland Convention Center with Dr. Henry Blackaby with the focus on revival in Northeast Ohio. Now, these were all good things, but they had limited results. And they did not result in transformation. I only shared 5 or 6 things. There are over 2 dozen more that I could share that was taking place in Northeast Ohio from the mid-80s to the present. These things did not bring about transformation. We would get an increase of spiritual adrenaline. We'll get a little boost after those things. But after a month or so, everything went back to normal. And nobody was transformed. Our region was not transformed. So after this, for me, for 20 plus years, I developed revival fatigue. I developed despair. I knew what God was saying. And I knew where God wanted to take us, but I had no clue as to how we could get there or if we would ever get there. And I began to back off stuff. Now, most of these things that we've shared with you, my wife and I were actively involved in all this. But I began to pull back because I was beginning to feel despair, hopelessness, and quite honestly, I believe many or most of the leaders in Northeast Ohio felt the same way, but we would not verbalize it. We wanted to be brave and press on. But I began to pull back and because I did not see the way forward. I didn't know how we could get to where God was saying. God had prophesied many times what he was going to do. And I believe that. We all believe that. But how do we get there? Well, in my state of despair and beginning to feel hopeless because I did not know what to do or where to turn, in 2008, I was introduced to the World Trumpet Mission, which is a prayer-based ministry that was birthed in Uganda by Pastor John Malende in 1988. This ministry that was birthed out of Uganda was a major national prayer movement that brought believers to a place of surrender and being set apart for God. And God used World Trumpet Mission and Pastor John Malende and their team to bring transformation to Uganda. Now, when I begin to see that, I begin to see a pathway by which we can get there. And that began to stir some hope in me again. And I begin to study, to read, to look at everything I could about World Trumpet Mission and what God had done in Uganda. Now, I am going to share with you the testimony from Uganda. Bible says we overcome the accuser of the brethren, our enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There is a testimony from Uganda that we're going to see. We're going to go through it. It's about six paragraphs. We're going to go through it because that's the heart of this thing. Because I believe that we all have a desire to be transformed and renewed in the very image of Jesus Christ, to walk this earth just as Jesus walked this earth in the power and authority of the Spirit of God. But we have to get there. See, our region is messed up. Our nation is messed up. And many times we feel despair and hopelessness because we don't know what to do. And we don't have a pathway by which to get to it. So we're going to take our time and look at this testimony from Uganda. Let's look at the first paragraph. In the late 1900s, Uganda was infamous for difficult situations. Between 1962 and 1986, Uganda had 10 presidents, bloodshed after bloodshed, war after war, and then finally the AIDS epidemic. The World Health Organization declared the nation worst hit by the AIDS virus. HIV and AIDS prevalence levels were at 36%. Next. The report said that by the year 2000, 30% of the entire population would be wiped out by AIDS. 30% would be infected by the virus. And the rest would be very old people and very young children, among whom there would be AIDS babies. After receiving the report about AIDS, a government official called a meeting of pastors and told them, "The government has got no solution. The medical world has got no answer. The international community has got no hope. Only God can help us in this." Speaking on behalf of the president, he made an appeal. Would the pastors mobilize the nation to pray? It looked like an uphill task. The first response was hopelessness. What did we do to God? We had one crisis after another, but a young pastor rose up and encouraged the others. "Let us not rise up against the name of the Lord. He has been our help before, and he will be our help again. What we need is to humble ourselves, come before him, and cry out desperately for help." As we were crying out and asking God for directions, he said, Take your eyes off the problems of the land and begin to seek my purposes. As you steer the nation towards my purposes, I will see you through your problems and bring glory to my name. What I will do in Uganda will become a story to be told all over the world. When we began to seek how to pursue his purposes, he said, the first thing to do is to fill the land with prayer altars. He told us to set the nation ablaze with prayer by establishing family prayer altars, making every church house a house of prayer, and establishing corporate prayer in communities. He said, the only way you can break the power of darkness is to repent from the wicked ways that give the enemy authority over the land. And as you turn to me, I will do what you cannot do, which is to push them back. They may be too much for you, but once you repent and turn away from them, you give me legal authority to push them back and set the land free. I can heal the land. Beloved, the church took up the campaign. Prayer was ignited nationwide. The body of Christ came together, and people began to erect prayer altars all over the land, in their hearts, homes, workplaces, schools, in villages and bigger communities. The government wanted to fight AIDS with condoms. The church said, no, we will fight AIDS with biblical principles. There was a confrontation from the start, but in the end, the government put the resources in the hands of the church. The campaign went on, and today, Uganda is being held up as a model. AIDS has come down from 36% to 6%. To God be the glory. Now, that is transformation. The final word of testimony from Uganda is this. I'm going to read it. In 1997, the president of Uganda did something miraculous at a repentance and reconciliation conference. After speaking, he got the national flag and handed it over to intercessors. He said, I hand over the nation to you intercessors. You are the ones who can bring change. We have tried here and there, but without success. Now Uganda is in your hands. What prompted the president to do this? A network of prayer that began in individuals and grew into families, small groups, and churches. Now, that's transformation. This testimony is the reality of 2 Chronicles 7:14. This nation was transformed by God. The problem that we have is not with God. The problem is not with God, it's with us. The Ugandans actually did 2 Chronicles 7:14 while we recited and preach about it. They got down and they got mean and mad because they were desperate. See, we haven't yet come to the place where we are desperate for God. We still think, the government still thinks it got an answer. We think the government got an answer too. Because we fuss at the government and all that they're doing, talking about a physical cliff. Go over it. We are fussing at the government. Listen. The power is not in the White House. It's not in the State House. It's in the Church House. So at some point, the Church House must rise up in authority and power. We are the only ones who can call on the name of the Lord, because the Bible still says His eyes are upon the righteous and His ears are attentive to their cry. So when are we going to start crying out to God? When are we going to invoke the help of Almighty God? You see, our governmental leaders may be slow in recognizing that there is no answer that they have. They don't know that they don't know. So you can't expect somebody to do something that they don't know. You see, the challenge for us is, are we willing to humble ourselves before God and to acknowledge our desperation for Him? Are we willing to take our eyes off the problems and put them on God? You see, there are major issues in Northeast Ohio. There are major problems in our nation. As the people of God, we shouldn't be looking at a physical cliff. We shouldn't be looking at all the circumstances. We should be looking to God. You see, God told the Ugandans, the first thing you must do is to establish prayer altars throughout the nation. Set the nation ablaze with prayer. The purpose primarily of prayer altars is to have the light of God's presence come into the land and push back the darkness. The Bible says, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. We must commit to establishing prayer altars. Darkness comes upon a land when the heavens are shut, because the light of God's presence cannot get through. Darkness is upon us. Darkness is in our land. Darkness blinds the spiritual eyes. Darkness hardens the heart. Darkness desensitizes our emotions and feelings. We do inhumane things, things you cannot imagine. We do. Darkness removes the restraint of the Holy Spirit. When we look at events in our nation, going back to Columbine in 2000 in Colorado, the killings of students, darkness. When you look at Virginia Tech, darkness. Chardon, Ohio, darkness. Newtown, Connecticut, 26 people dead, 20 babies. Darkness. Now, what does it take for us to be desperate? How much more do we have to endure before we become desperate? Do we need a decree that the nation is about to be wiped out like came to Uganda? Because with 30% projected to be dead, another 30% infected with the AIDS virus, remaining old people, AIDS babies. Had you taken that a bit further, the nation would have been off the map. So, what does it take to awaken the church in America? Don't fuss at the White House. Don't fuss at the State House. We got to deal with the church house. That's where the power lies. Now, the only solution for darkness is light. Can we agree on that? Prayer altars. Prayer altars. Are we willing to set our land ablaze with prayer? Ushering in the very presence of God. The first step in establishing prayer altars is to saturate our hearts with the Word of God. We must, now hear me, must, and I'm going to show you why. We must make the Word of God central in our lives again. If we are serious about transformation, if we are serious about seeing God move, and only God can solve our problems. He is our only hope. When I began being introduced to this in 2008, hope began to stir in me. I begin to see a way that this thing can happen. I begin to see a process, a pathway by which Northeast Ohio can be transformed. And it's only by the power of God. The Word of God. We must saturate with the Word of God. Psalms 119, 130. If you have it, stick it up. Because I may run through some of these. In fact, I'm going to run through some of these. Don't worry about putting them all these up. That says, in the Amplified, the interest and unfolding of the Word gives light. So when the Word comes in, light comes in. The Bible says in 1 John 1:5 that God is light and in him is no darkness. So God and his Word are one. So when you get the Word in, light comes in. So the Bible tells us also, first in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And verse 14 says that the Word became flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. And Jesus says of himself in Matthew 8:12, I believe, that he says, I am the light of the world. So when the Word comes in, light comes in. Now, something happens with us when the Word comes in. When light comes into me, guess what happens? It exposes darkness in me. You see, that's part of the reason we don't like to mess with the Word too much. When the Word comes in, it's going to expose darkness in us because we must first be transformed. So when the Word comes in, the Word's going to shine a light on everything in me that is unlike the Word of God. Then I must do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. I must humble myself. I must pray. I must return from my wicked ways. And then let God begin healing my land. Amen. You see, this is the step that leaders in our region and I dare say around the country, don't like. You see, this transformation will take place one saint at a time. Surrendering to the Word of God, allowing the Word of God to expose and deal with darkness in us. And you see, it's easy to throw a conference. It's easy to call a solemn assembly and get 100 pastors. It's easy to fast and pray. But when you say to someone, you have to let the Word of God expose your mess, your sin, they back off. That's hard. It's a lot easier to get a crowd. See, transformation is not going to take place in mass. It's not going to take place in Brown Stadium with 75,000 people being transformed. No, not going to work. We tried it. It didn't work. It's going to take place one saint at a time. You see, until and unless we are transformed, unless I am transformed, I cannot be used of God to bring transformation to a region. And we have tried. We have tried everything. And it has not worked. We did good things with good intentions in the name of transformation. You still see darkness all around us. When God says we are to be the very light of the world. Go to Philippians 2:15. Amplified, you got that for me. And we're going to wrap this up. I think you're getting the point. This is what Word says in Philippians 2:15. That you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God, without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars, or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world. That's the call that's on our lives. But we must first allow our hearts, this temple, to be transformed. Once that's done, begin building a family prayer altar. Call your children, husband, wife. Don't matter if everybody in the family don't get started. You get started. If it's just two of you, get started. The Bible says one put 1,000 demons to flight, two put 10,000. You got a good start with just two of you. And as you begin to build that altar, light's going to begin expanding in your house. It's going to impact somebody else in the house. They're going to come together. And as the light flows out of your house, it's going to start affecting your neighbors. They're going to start coming over, bringing you little baked goods and stuff. Once you build family altars, build an altar in your church. We have that going on here. I thank God that our intercessors have caught hold of this. We have some awesome intercessors at Valley View. Let's give them a hand. I'm serious. They understand what I'm sharing, and they are walking in it. Why do you think God has been moving like he has been moving over here? is not by happenstance. Pastor Kayton has embraced what I'm talking about, and he's given full support to it. As church altars are built, you're going to see open heaven over your church. Community is going to begin changing because the light of God's presence is flowing and moving. Then you begin establishing corporate altars where churches come together in the city to pray, usher in the presence of God. And then you see open heavens over our region. When the heavens open up, we see the light of God's glory begin to shine in our region. And we see hearts being changed. You see, with all of the crazy things that we've been seeing, the government's response is, let's pass some laws to restrain man's hands. What good does it do to restrain man's hands when their hearts remain unrestrained? See, the government does all they know to do. That's all they know to do. Let's pass a law. And we're going to enforce this law. But the heart remains unchanged. Therefore, wickedness remains and darkness remains. So at some point, we must be serious about transformation. There is a way forward. There is a pathway to transformation. And it's still what God said. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, only then, will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Let's stand to our feet, please. Now, there are some here, no doubt, have heard the word, and they want to deal with the issue of darkness in you. The first step in dealing with darkness in us is to receive Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, in us. You have no hope to deal with darkness. You have no restraint in your life without the light of the world abiding in you. If you're here this morning and you have not surrendered your life to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who loved you, gave himself up for you. If you have not asked Jesus into your heart to be your personal Savior, then you're yet walking in darkness because you don't have the light of Christ abiding in you. If that's you, come on. The hour's late, but we have time. If that's you, just step out from where you are. Altar ministers, come on up, please. If that's you, come on. You may be in the backslidden condition. You may know him, but some darkness has crept in. And even the word, the light of the word this day, has exposed some darkness in your heart, in your life. We don't want anyone carrying that darkness out of this place. Jesus said he is the light of the world, but also in Matthew 5:14, he said, ye are the light of the world. He said, we are to let our light so shine before men that they see our good work and glorify the Father in heaven. So wherever you are in that walk, we want you to come. So So I'm going to pray for you. Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord God. I thank you that, Father God, you're working in our hearts, Lord God, to expose the dark areas that's in our lives, Lord God, that we may be children of light. And Father, we bless you and honor you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, altar ministers. We'll be available to pray later as well. Now, what we share today regarding World Trumpet Mission and Pastor John Melinde. On Saturday the 5th, my wife and I are going to AfriCamp. It's a annual conference that is held in Kampala, Uganda, by World Trumpet Mission, where people from around the world come and are trained and challenged in what we've been sharing this morning. My wife and I are going on January 5th, and we'll return on January 19th. So it's going to be an intense time of training and developing us to do the work that God has called us to do. Now, Elder Clarence is going to come and share some about that trip and just some things that you may be able to participate in as we go. Come on, Elder. You have a mic, Elder Clarence? He need a, Pastor Rita has a mic. I think she has a mic.
Amen. We thank God today for having representatives from Church on the North Coast to be able to go to AfriCamp and to represent us. Now, all of us can't go. We understand that. But we can go if we support those that are going. Pastor Tossie and Pastor Rita are part of a core team that gives leadership to Ohio Partners for Transformation. They're a local ministry that is in partnership with World Trumpet Mission. And Pastor talked so beautifully today about transformation. Amen. Awesome, awesome message. Awesome message. He talked about transformation. And he's talked about us being transformed. Well, I want to share just briefly with you something concerning transformational giving. Transformational giving is giving by faith. It's something that you can't see. Now, some of us have some great dreams and visions. As a matter of fact, I believe that there are people in here, if God would supply you with the money, you would pay for this whole expansion, this whole extension for the church by yourself. I believe that you have a heart and a desire to give in the house of God like you've never given before if God supplies the need. Now, the Bible says that God has already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's already happened. So we have to give by faith. Faith is something that we can't see. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And we're going to have to start to give by faith. Now, if I look at my checkbook, my checkbook is not large enough to do what I want to do for the Church on the North Coast for the expansion. But if I lay my checkbook down by my Bible, God said that he's already given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. What do I have to do? I have to receive the word that God has spoken and make it come true in my life. That's called transformational receiving. So we have to start in this coming year to start to receive what God said in his word. And once we receive it and believe it, guess what's going to happen? He's going to start to manifest those things in our life. I believe today that God is going to do some great things in year 2013 for the Church on the North Coast. I'm telling you, you better get ready to start receiving some big funds. Amen. Amen. Because we're going to believe what the word of God says. He says, a good man leaveth an inheritance unto his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Aren't we the just? Haven't we been justified? We've been made righteous. We are the just, and it's getting ready to come, but we have to receive it. Amen. Pastor Tossie and Pastor Reeder are going on a trip, and you heard him say that it's going to take 2 weeks. They're going to go. They're going to receive information. God is going to pour revelation into them like he's never done before. They're going to be in an atmosphere that's going to be so charged with the Holy Spirit that I tell you, when he comes back, they're going to be on fire, man. And I'm waiting for that. I'm looking for that, because I know that we have to go higher and deeper in Christ in the year 2013. He talked about how you see all the stuff that's happening in the world. People are doing things that they never even imagined. Killing little babies. That didn't happen before. But darkness is increasing. But when darkness increases, light is supposed to increase even more. And we are, the Bible said, we are the light of the world because we have Jesus in us. Amen. So I want to encourage you today. We want to help to support Pastor Tossie and Pastor Reeder for this trip. And I'm going to ask you today, if you would just give, just reach down in your faith and give an offering today that will bless them to be able to go to the AfriCamp trip. Just reach down. You may not even see it, but if you trust God, I'm telling you right now, he'll make a way. He'll open doors for you. He will bless you. He will open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. You will not have room enough to receive. That's what the word said. I didn't say that. That's what the word of God says. So we want to give today as unto the Lord. We thank God for them going, and we support them. We want them to know we support them. You know, it's expensive to go to Africa. Just to go, and then they're going to stay for 2 whole weeks. So let's give our best offering today and show our pastors that we love them and we care for them, that they're important to us, and they feed us with the word of God, and we love them, and we want to show that love, that CNC love today, okay? So I'm going to ask my wife if she'll just, I want you to know I'm going to be the first to give. Amen. I'm just not telling you to do it. I'm giving myself. And we just want to bless the givers today, those that have given, those that are trusting God. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you today, and we just want to thank you. We thank you for the willing hearts today that are trusting you and that believe in your word, and they're standing on the word of God, knowing that if the Bible says, if you cast your bread upon the waters, it will return after many days. Your word says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give unto our bosom. For with the same measure we meet, it will be measured to us again. And we ask today, Father, that you would bless this offering, those that have given today. We ask you to restore what they've given 100-fold in Jesus' name. Help us to show our love to our pastors today. And we thank you and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may receive the offering now.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Bramley. And if you're able to give to help support this trip, we appreciate it. And we're believing God that he'll supply every need as he promised. So we're standing on the word of God. As you send, writing checks payable to CNC. You're writing checks payable to CNC. Now, I need to get our altar ministers back, please. Because some may need prayer in any area of your life. You may want someone to stand in agreement with you as you're going into this new year. There may be some challenges you are facing. And there are people up front, even around the walls, who will pray with you. And as our praise team just worships, come this way before you go that way. Continue to pray for our pastors, Pastor Kate and Pastor Tina, as they are away. And keep them lifted. And we love you. And live right. Love everybody. And above all, pray hard. Amen.